Just looking forward to getting back home and getting abused by somebody who loves me. Now, a couple of things. Some of y'all might see this tie that I have on. Now, I tell you who gave me this tie, but I might embarrass Gattardo if I told you. So I won't tell you, but he gave me that tie. He said it was a Christian tie. Mickey Mouse on there, he says he's a believer. You know, you can't be that happy and not be a believer there. So he told me if I wear this tie tonight, so I wore it, this is for Gattardo. Not that he, well, anyway. Some of y'all might have heard, too, that I called Ralph today, and he said hi. I'll tell you. You can't do anything on this island. Anything. You can do some good things on this island, and people don't hear about you, but do some other things on this island, everybody in the world hears about it. My goodness. I'll tell you. Anyway, I'm looking forward to getting back home. I'll tell you, it's been good to be here. I appreciate y'all letting me come again. I'm always surprised when I get invited somewhere to speak, but I'm always amazed when I get invited back. So, I really appreciate y'all letting me come and hope that some of it's been a blessing to you and an encouragement to your hearts. I enjoyed being here, and I appreciate all the kindnesses, all the food that you gave me. I was hoping I was going to come down here and go back weighing a little bit less, but I don't think I made that. So Angie's not going to be too happy about that. But anyway, thank you for all the food, the gifts that you've given me, the kindness that you showed me, running me around, taking me out fishing, you know, cleaning out my system for me, taking me out fishing. So I appreciate all that y'all did for me all these days. And I'll tell you. Anyway, I'll save the solo for next time I come, alright? Y'all invite me back, I'll sing a solo. Anyway. Tonight I just, you know, the great thing about the last message is, I pretty much can say what I want to, and I'm leaving tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, and so, you know, most of you won't be able to say anything to me, so I got a lot of freedom tonight to say whatever. And, I want to go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And there's just something that's on my heart, and it's something that's so prevalent in our meetings today, and it's sad. It really is sad that these things are taking place. And I want to say something, and this is not going to be easy to say, and this is not going to be something that's going to be very enjoyable to hear either, but I believe it's something the Lord has on my heart, something I've shared in other places, some things I want to share here, and I just hope that you'll prayerfully consider what I say. Get before the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because as I said the other night, when you hear the word of God, the one that's sharing that word, the one that is opening up the word and explaining it to us, has a responsibility. But we have a responsibility, those of us that hear it, to respond to that, to seek out in the word of God, to be like the Berean Christians and say, is this what God wants me to do? And if it is, then to act upon it. And not just be forgetful hearers, not just come in and say, well, now we've had a nice good time, nice singing, and we've been enjoying being together, and we're going to go home and just live tomorrow just like we live today. Well, if that's true, then we've really not done what the Lord would like to do in our hearts. And I hope that as you hear the word tonight, that it'll challenge your heart, and if there's anything in you that you've had some struggles with these things, that I pray that the Lord will work in your heart to help you to turn away from this particular shortcoming. Hebrews chapter 10 and starting in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, brethren, the Christians, we can laugh and we can have a good time and we can kid each other. I like to kid people. People like to kid me, and that's all well and good. And it's nice. Like one older sister used to tell me, just having good Christian fun. Nothing wrong with that. But we ought to have, as believers, we ought to have a desire to be an encouragement one to another. You know, it's easy to criticize people. It's easy to tear people down. In fact, there's a saying in Spanish that goes, es más fácil criticar que imitar. It's easier to criticize than it is to imitate. It's easy to tear people down. It's more difficult. It takes more effort. It takes more thought to build people up. And yet the Lord would have us, even at times when we have to correct one another, even times when we have to rebuke one another, to do it in a way that builds up our brethren, encourages them to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow more closely to Him and the pattern of the life that He's laid before us. And so it says, let us consider one another. You know, in this book, we've considered the Lord Jesus. We considered Him who was the apostle and high priest. We considered Him who was the author and finisher of our faith. We considered Him who gave Himself for us. But here He turns our thoughts and says, consider one another. Think about each other. Think about each other's needs. And provoke one another. You know, we ought to be provoking people. Provoking one another. Encouraging one another unto love and unto good works. And then He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is something that is so prevalent in our churches today, where people look at the meetings of the local assembly as optional. As, well, I go if I feel like it. I go if I'm in a good mood. I go if I haven't got something else to do. I go if the speaker is someone that I want to hear. I go, well, if I just feel like it. But that's not what it is. The meetings of the local assembly aren't an option. When the saints gather together, I have a responsibility to the Lord and to my brethren to be there. Because, first of all, we come here not because Mark Hartley's speaking. If you came here because Mark Hartley's speaking, or because the choir sang, or because some family member of yours was going to do a special number, well, let me tell you, you came here for all the wrong reasons, and you're going to be greatly disappointed. We come here because the Lord Jesus Christ is here. Now, my question to you is, if you knew on Sunday morning, instead of the speaker, I think it's Fred Cozen, instead of Fred Cozen was going to be speaking on Sunday morning, if you knew that Jesus Christ Himself were going to stand on this platform and preach, would you be here? I think most of us, hopefully, would say yes. Well, it doesn't matter if He's the one physically in front of us. He is here because He's promised, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. I come here not because of the speaker, not because of the music, not because I feel obligated, not because of some sense of responsibility. I come here because I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to meet with Him in that very special way that I can only do when the other Christians are gathered together. That's why. And if that's not your motivation, then I think you need to examine your heart and say, why do I come to the meetings? Is it because it's expected of me? Is it because I have some role or some part? And when I don't have some role or some part, I stay home? If I'm not teaching Sunday school or singing in the choir or doing some other activity in the assembly, I'm not going to come because, well, you know, I just go when I have that to do, and the other times I stay home. The other reason I come is because when I'm missing, part of the body of Christ is missing. And I've got a responsibility to my brethren because the Lord has given me certain gifts, spiritual gifts, that I can only use, can only function with in the body of Christ to encourage the believers. And if I'm not there, I'm doing harm, I'm doing an injustice to my fellow believers, because part of the body of Christ is missing. Part of the body of Christ is absent. And none of us would ever think. I mean, this is ridiculous if you think, well, what if you woke up one morning and your hand decided to stay home, or your foot decided to stay home, or your ear or your eye or some part of your body decided to stay home? Well, you'd say, well, how would I function, right? How does a local assembly function if I stay home? And we can find all kinds of excuses to stay away from the meetings of the assembly, and yet those same excuses wouldn't keep us away from work. It wouldn't keep us away from some sporting event. It wouldn't keep us away from going out with our friends. It wouldn't keep us away from going out and fishing. It wouldn't keep us from going out and spending time that we enjoy. But yet we can make any excuse and all excuse why I don't go to the meetings of the local assembly. And we get not only into every once in a while, we get into the habit, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together, as is the habit of some. And sad to say, today in our local assemblies, I know in my home assembly, there's people that the only meeting they show up to is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and that's it. Are they in fellowship? Well, they are, but a very, very limited fellowship. Are they enjoying the body of Christ? Are they reaping benefits from the body of Christ and giving benefits, adding to the body of Christ? Absolutely not. And Satan has fooled them. He's lulled them into this thought that, well, I can stay home because it doesn't matter. I'm not important. I haven't got any responsibility. Nobody will even know if I'm missing. Well, let me tell you what. There might not be a single person in this assembly that realizes that you missed Tuesday night. But Jesus Christ knows it. And I believe we're all going to stand before Him someday. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I can't look into the eyes of that one who loved me and gave Himself for me. I can't look into the eyes of that one who suffered and died for me and him say, Mark, why weren't you there? And I say, well, because there was a television show I wanted to watch. Or because it wasn't convenient for me. Or because I had a little bit of a headache. Or because, well, I just didn't think it was important to come on Tuesday night. It's only just a prayer meeting. I can't do that. I don't know about you, but I can't do that. I've got to look into the eyes of the one who came into this world for Mark Hartley's sake and suffered and bore my sins in his own body, and I've got to give an account someday. And I'll tell you what, I'm scared. Not scared because I'm going to lose my salvation, but I'm scared because I'm going to look in those eyes and I don't want to see tears in those eyes as he asked me, why, Mark? Why not? I was there. Where were you? Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know the sad thing is, as we see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me ask you, how many of y'all believe that the rapture of the church could occur tonight? Raise your hand. Well, that's most of us. There's a few that maybe not. That's what it's talking about. As we, the coming of the Lord approaching, let me tell you what, it's closer today than it was yesterday. And a whole lot closer than it was a year ago. And he says, as we see that day approaching, we shouldn't be less zealous about the meetings of the assembly. We ought to be more zealous. This ought to be a place of refuge, a place of encouragement, a place of learning, a place of exercising our spiritual gifts, a place of meeting with like-minded saints, a place of meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be excited about the meetings of the assembly. But sad to say, as we see the day approaching, you don't see a greater zeal for the assembly. You see a falling away. You see less attendance. I guarantee you, 50 years ago, when they had a week of meetings, the whole assembly turned out every night. And now, if I feel like it, I'll go. A brother shared something with me when I was young in the Lord. He said, Mark, we don't make a decision every single meeting whether we're going to go or not. My wife and I, my family, made a decision years ago. When the assembly is gathered together, we're going to be there. Now, there are circumstances. I mean, we had 5 kids, and there were some times when one of them was so sick that they couldn't go. And either I had to stay home or Angie had to stay home. And what we do is she'd go in the morning and I'd go in the evening. And the next Sunday, if there was still someone sick, we go vice versa. I'd go in the morning and she'd go in the evening. But the thing was, in my heart, I didn't want to be home. The whole time I was sitting at home, I was thinking, my brethren are gathered together in that place, and they're meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not there. Look at all that Thomas lost out on that first Sunday, that day of the resurrection, and he wasn't there. I don't know why he wasn't there. It really doesn't matter why he wasn't there. The Scripture doesn't tell us. The Spirit of God hid that from us. It doesn't matter. The important thing, he wasn't there. And for an entire week, he suffered what the other apostles didn't suffer, because the first words out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ that day were peace. My peace I give unto you. They had lived for 3 days. thinking that the Messiah, thinking that their Christ, thinking that their teacher, thinking that their Lord had died and was gone. And for 3 days they were agitated. And then he walks in the room and says, "Peace be unto you." And for another week, Thomas suffered because he wasn't there that day. Sometimes we won't realize how much we suffer till we get to heaven. Sometimes we won't realize how much we've lost out on till we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's too late then. Too late then. The early church met together for four things. They met together for prayer. They met together for teaching, for doctrine. They met together for fellowship. And they met together for the breaking of bread. And every one of those four aspects of the meeting of the local assembly are absolutely essential to the health of the assembly as a whole and to every Christian individually. We need those four things. You can't live without it. And we go through our lives and sometimes things are too important to us. Well, you know, it's more important. I got to go out drinking with my friends, or I got to go out smoking with my friends, or taking drugs with my friends, or I got to go do this. And I'm talking about the young people. You know, sometimes it's that. And you're ashamed to come because there's sin in your life. Or maybe there's something else. Maybe it's just, well, I feel sports. You know, there's a ball game on, or I'm going to go play a ball game, or I'm going to go out fishing with my friends, or I'm going to go out and riding up and down the street in my car or whatever. I'm just going to go out and have a good time. It doesn't matter what it is. It's all still wrong. The elders in the assembly have said, out of the week, we're gathering together these few hours. You know, there's 168 hours in a week, I think. How many hours do you get together in a week? Two on Sunday morning, one on Sunday evening, Tuesday, Thursday. So that's what? Five hours a week? And that's too much? That's too much? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I've got a couple more scriptures, and see, I can go over tonight, nobody's saying anything. But anyway, I'm not going to go over too much more. I want to share a couple things, and I understand why some brethren, when they read this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when they read that passage of Paul shares about the breaking of bread, and they say the Lord invites us. I understand what they mean by that, but it's not just an invitation. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said," now look what he says, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread, or excuse me, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come." Those words, take, eat, do in remembrance, aren't an invitation. They're not a suggestion. They're commandments. And if I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I consider myself part of this in association with this local assembly, and I have never come into fellowship, I have not come into the point where I'm breaking bread with the saints. Maybe I'm young in the Lord. Maybe I haven't known him long. Maybe I'm a girl and I think, well, I don't participate, so what does it matter if I come or not? It matters. The Lord has commanded us, do this in remembrance of me. It's not a suggestion. And if I don't do that, if I don't gather together with the saints each Lord's Day, following the traditions of the early saints, of the early apostles, if I don't do that, then I'm sinning against the Lord. I'm saying to him, it doesn't matter what you say, I've got something more important to do. Or it's not important whether I'm in fellowship in the assembly. It doesn't matter whether I'm breaking bread or not. It doesn't matter. I guarantee you that day when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll matter. I guarantee you it'll matter. That day. You know, it's easy to sing these songs. We love the Lord and we honor Him and we want to serve Him, and it's all this nice, pretty music. My problem with singing songs is a lot of times we sing songs that we don't even mean. We don't even mean the words. We just sing them because they sound pretty. It's a pretty nice song. We sing it. We don't mean it. Look what the Lord says in John chapter 13. And here's what I'm saying why I say that. We say, I love Jesus. I love Him. We sing that. Here's what He says in John chapter 13 and verse 17. He had just washed the disciples' feet, given the example of serving them. But here's the important thing. He says, if you know these things, happy or blessed are you if you do them. It's not good enough just to know the truth of God's Word. It's not good enough just to know these things. If we know them, we got to do them. We are held responsible for them before the Lord. And there's no excuse. Can't say I haven't ever been taught it. There's not a single person tonight that's here or anyone that listens to this tape that can say after this, I didn't know that it was important to go to the meetings of the local assembly. I didn't know it was important to break bread on Sunday morning. I didn't know it was important to be there Tuesday night. I didn't know it was important. You don't have that excuse now. Later on in the same John, Gospel of John, look what he says in chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I love you, Jesus, but I'm not coming to the meetings. I love you, Jesus, but I got something more important to do. I love you, Jesus. I don't care what your word says. I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing. You know what he says? You don't love me. That's what he says later on. In verse 21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which he heareth is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. There it is. I love you, Jesus, but I'm not going to do what you say. You know what he says? You know what he's going to say to you that day? You don't really love me. You know who you love? You love yourself. And in the last days, this is what's going to characterize the last days. Men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. You love your sin, and you love yourself, and you love your playthings, and you love your pleasure, and you love the things of this world. But boy, if you can't be with the people of God when the Lord Jesus Christ is there, when they're gathered together, don't say you love Him. Don't say it. In chapter 15 and verse 14, he says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You want to be a friend to the Lord Jesus? You want to show to everyone in the world and to yourself and to the Lord Himself that you really love Him? Keep His commandments. When He says, do this in remembrance of me, don't say, that's not important. That's not special. It's a boring meeting. We don't sing songs out of the chorus book, or we don't sing songs that have an upbeat, and it's just kind of boring, and it's kind of long and drawn out, and it doesn't have anything for me. And let me tell you what, if you don't enjoy the breaking bread, and I'm not saying it's just because I want to act spiritual or something. I love the breaking of bread. I mean, I just love it. I mean, that's of all the meetings, I love that more than any other. I mean, I really do. And you know why? Because there's no man standing up there in front of me. There's no body up there doing anything, trying to be the leader, trying to be in front of everyone. It's just the Lord Jesus. And every thought, and every hymn, and every word, and every prayer is centered around that one who loved me so much that He died on the cross for me. And I'll tell you what, if you don't enjoy the breaking of bread, you ain't going to enjoy heaven. And if you don't want to come to the breaking of bread, and you don't want to come to the meetings of the local assembly, you're not going to enjoy heaven at all. Because that's what it's going to be. We're going to be gathered together with the Christians, and there ain't going to be no fast cars in heaven, and there ain't going to be no fishing in heaven, and there ain't going to be no playing baseball in heaven, and there ain't going to be doing a lot of the activities we do in this world. You know what's going to be doing in heaven? What we do in the meetings of the local assembly. Doctrine, prayer, praising God, giving Him thanks, remembering the Lord Jesus, centering our hearts around Him, and fellowshipping one with another and with the God who gave Himself for us. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and so much the more as we see that day approaching. May the Lord stir up your hearts with these words, dear brethren. Might you not know and be able to say about you, no, when the doors are open to that assembly, unless there's some dire circumstances, I'm going to be there to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ and with His people. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank You that He died for us. We thank You that He loved us before we ever thought about loving Him. But we do love You. We want to manifest that love to You, to our fellow saints, to the unbelievers around in the world, even to ourselves by following Your commandments, by obeying You when You give us something, You tell us something to do. And Father, we want to obey in this commandment when You say, gather together, when You say to meet in Your name and to remember You and to take the bread and take the cup and proclaim Your death until You come back. Oh, Father, we want to do it. We want to be zealous about it. We want to be eager. We want to be anxious to be here and gather together with Your people. And I, dear Father, I pray if there's anyone here tonight or anyone that hears this message, I pray that if they're not doing these things, that You would stir their hearts by Your Spirit that indwells them. Convict them, Father. Bring them to the point where they'll be broken before You and repent and turn away from these things and fully be here in fellowship and be in the meetings of the local assembly. I just pray, Father, You would do this great work for the glory and praise of Your name. For we ask these things through Jesus.